Hello and welcome to another installment of the Full Force Monthly, brought to you by Hoarder, the collector's app. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and in this regular series we get stuck into specific G.I. Joe related topics every single month. Joining me on this episode is one half of the Articulated Points YouTube channel and my regular co-host on the Full Force Weekly. It's Patrick Not Picard Stewart, and of course he's back again. It's the General himself, Justin Generals Joe's Bell. Okay then, last month we gave you our favourite classified figures of 2022 and look forward to what makes us most excited for 2023. So we thought with the new Sky Striker HasLab in hand now for everyone that we would have a conversation about the current state of the G.I. Joe O-ring line and where we would like it to go. Throw in another version of therapy and you've got yourselves a brand new episode of... What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Monthly.
Yay! Yeah, it is. I think I'm the only one that's excited about that. Getting this one just in time for the end of February. We've had all this time to do it and I've just been putting it off. So sorry, lads. But thank you for jumping on. Justin, I haven't heard from you for ages. How are you, mate?
No, I'm doing good. Doing good. I'm ready to talk about O-ring. You know, I was doing some research into this episode and Liar. Just being reminded of how much I loved the O-ring. You know, I mean, everything that's happened since 1994, and it's easy to forget sort of where it all started, and really excited to talk about that side of G.I. Joe, which I don't think gets nearly enough appreciation these days.
Of course, no one cares about it anymore, right? That's the whole point.
Seems like it.
Oh, look at Pat, he got really angry look there. Pat, how are you doing after I said that?
I'm doing all right, yeah. I'm glad that we're touching on this topic. It's one that I've wanted to talk about for quite a while.
Yeah, we did an O-ring special some time ago, didn't we? Where I think the HasLab was just around the corner. We'd had, I think, Duke and Cobra Commander were the last two that we knew of coming out at that point. So now we've had a few more additions to the O-ring line. We thought we might as well get stuck into it. So let's stop all of the formalities and get stuck into that, shall we? Yes. Right then, people, we are going to start by discussing the current state of the O-ring line before moving on to what we would like to see going forward. So far, we've had a handful of core character 2-packs, a Sky Striker HasLab with 7 figures, and a smattering of vehicles with the Stinger and the 2 Transformers crossovers so far. It has hardly been an embarrassment of riches since the line was announced, but how do we see it going currently? Let's start first off then with Justin, seeing as we haven't heard from you in ages. Take us through your kind of thoughts at the moment of the current O-ring line as it is.
I'm very thankful that Hasbro is like actually looking back at that era and doing something to celebrate, you know, kind of where G.I. Joe Real America came from. I wish it getting a little bit more, not just from a, you know, number of releases standpoint, from, you know, it doesn't show like they're putting a lot of effort into it. It seems like they are doing an O-ring line to do an O-ring line. Not a whole lot of thought as to accessories. You know, package art isn't, you know, right on spec.
Always relevant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the, you know, the figures themselves are pretty, you know, somewhat faithful recreations of the vintage stuff, but not a lot of bells and whistles. It's just sort of, you know, what is the base minimum we can do to celebrate the O-ring? And that's how it feels like. And while I'm thankful that we get that stuff, you know, some of those O-ring figures in the Transformers line, it sort of feels like a tack on there too. Like the focus is the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover. Oh, by the way, here's a little O-ring figure just to kind of, you know, convince you guys that we actually care. So I think I would, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm glad they're doing it. I found a lot of what they did with the Sky Striker especially appealing, bringing in some new characters, trying some different parts combinations, you know, even if the QC has been a little hit or miss.
Yeah.
But really, I wish they would spend a little bit more time and attention on it and not treat it as it seems like some sort of like cast off or, like I said, the bare minimum they could do, to celebrate it. I mean, we are getting the minimum at least.
There seem to be like a plan at the early stages. Like we had 2 packs coming out. We had a little bit more kind of focus on it for a bit. But the releases have been really far apart. They've been pulse only, effectively, haven't they, for the most part.
Yeah.
Pat, like, do you think just increasing releases could have a positive effect on this line?
Yes, for sure. There have been times where G.I. Joe's been having releases happen a little too fast.
Yeah.
I have been feeling a little bit of that, I think, lately. But the O-ring line is not a part of that. If you're just focused on the O-rings, which in my mind is it feels like a separate thing. It really does. They're just not coming fast enough for it to feel like a toy line. Every single release feels like a surprise that the line is still continuing.
Yeah, like a little mini exclusive kind of thing.
Yeah, like each release is its own revival of the line.
Yeah, totally. Obviously we've had numerous QC issues, I would say, with the figures themselves, haven't we? Like, there was the knees wouldn't bend all the way on some of the trooper figures and the officer figures. We've had, a few issues, I would say, with the HasLab Skystriker recently. Now, I imagine there's a lot of reasons behind those kind of issues, and it feels like we're still dealing with the remnants of the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of other issues in production and manufacture and stuff like that. But there does seem to be a lot of QC issues all of a sudden, doesn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know myself, I experienced the melted bubble problem with Duke and Cobra Commander.
Did you go to you went to the doctor with that, though, didn't you?
Sure. Yeah. And they care of it real fast. My melted O-rings were taken care of.
It tends to happen when we reach our age, Pat. No shame about it.
You hit that point. Melted O-rings left, right, and center, but mainly center.
But I also have I haven't even said anything to Hasbro because I realized it may be too late, but my Cobra officer and Cobra trooper were missing an accessory. Like, it's just stuff like that. It's really kind of aggravating. And I mean, Storm Shadow's nunchucks, it's basically a stick, because if you try to bend it so that he's holding both ends of the nunchucks, it's going to snap in the middle.
Yeah. Right?
Like, no, I was able to get mine. And then, a little bit later they reported, well, while it was on the shelf, eventually it just snapped in half. They should have been made of flexible plastic. And they have that available. The helmets on like Failsafe and the other new figures, Ripcord, those are super rubbery.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but Storm Shadow's nunchucks should have been made out of that same material.
I mean, stupid question alert, but do you think the success of the Classified line has had a lot to do with the lack of kind of emphasis put on the O-ring line?
Yeah, but I mean, it's probably got something to do with it. I would say Classified is their flagship, and I would say O-ring is probably a second thought. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that is part of it. Clearly whenever they do a Pulse fan stream or whatever, the focus is all on Classified. The chatter online is all about Classified. So I'm sure that they are paying most attention to how that line goes, which is good. I mean, they should, because it is kind of their flagship line. But, you do wish that the O-ring was getting at least a little bit of the same attention. I think they might possibly suffer from, some resource constraints, probably not enough people to cover all the different projects. So, they focus so much of their attention on Classified that O-ring, they kind of work in around the edges, don't really have a dedicated team working on it. So I think that probably plays into it a little bit. I'm sure sales of O-ring stuff probably isn't as, as aggressive as Classified is either.
Yeah,
so,
but do you think like the core character might have an issue with that? Because I mean, let's face it, the O-ring reissues kind of, because you always have to get over that hump, don't you? And we've had, so far we've had Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. Great. Two figures that we've had numerous times in the past and aren't difficult to get hold of in a lot of different capacities and versions that they've come out with. Duke and Cobra Commander is probably one of the sets that people probably prefer out of the three that have come out of those two packs, because there was the deco changes on them and everything. So at least there was some element of difference there. But even so, it's Duke and Cobra Commander. Like, I wonder if it's like a little bit too much of a safe, let's just go with the safe stuff here. And then you've got the stuff that I think has been really good so far in the line, like all of the different cool figures that you get with the HasLab kind of situation, where you've got Night Force Ripcord, Pilot Scarlet, the blimmin' the Cobra kind of pit crew guy, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like, those to me are the most interesting aspects of the line when there's something different thrown in. I'm pretty sure even the casual consumer, they're not going in and picking these up off the shelves, because they're only Hasbro Pulse exclusives anyway. So I don't see why they didn't go, what hasn't been done yet? Let's do stuff that hasn't been done yet, or let's mix it up. Rather than two figures that we've seen over and over and over again, all three of those two packs, those first two packs, why not mix it up? Why not have the Trooper with something we've never seen before? Why not have, you know, and it could be something simple. Like, it could be like the Trooper with, like the card art deco is correct. Or like the, do you know what I mean? Silly stuff like that. Or stuff where it's like a Sunbow color and a, you know, and a comics color. Or just anything that doesn't just give us two of the same figure we've had over and over again. And I think that's where those two packs have probably slipped up. And then I look at my most interesting aspect of the O-ring line has been with the Transformers crossovers, because I think finally we've got a Transformers crossover that is an interactive kind of thing that where they transform as well. And it's like, this is really cool. Like, yeah, there are certain shortcomings, but it feels like most of the focus has gone into those kind of things, though. Do you know what I mean? Some of the bigger level things.
For sure. And touching on some of what you said, I think is it's a double-edged sword, because I think G.I. Joe is experiencing a resurgence, and they want to make O-rings, you know, attractive to the more casual fan, even though they are Pulse exclusives, as well as the diehards. They're trying to find the right, they're not really trying to find the right combination. They've just done all vanilla core characters so far.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that I've always loved, and something that kind of gets overlooked when we talk about O-ring, is the comic pack figures from the early 2000s.
Big
a lot
time.
Of people don't necessarily focus a lot of attention on those, but they were able to take very familiar core characters, but tweak them and improve them and make them more desirable, so that the casual fan was getting a Firefly or getting a Scrap Iron or Cobra Troopers, but the hardcore fans were getting a Cobra Trooper in the comic book deco that they never had before. They're getting a Firefly with a better, meaner looking head sculpt. They were getting various different improvements, which I think is what Hasbro should really think about doing, is finding a way to make these core characters appeal to casual fans, but give something different to the hardcore fans as well, so they don't feel like they're just buying the same thing over and over and over and over again. And like you said, mix in some really new stuff too. I think that's kind of a good path forward. And that's, you know, when we start talking about sort of what we want to see in the O-ring line, that's some of the stuff I want to talk about then. But I think this is, they've really got to try to get their head around it. But I think in order to do that, they need a team that is dedicated to that, that knows the history really well, that, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions on Lenny or Emily or anything like that, but just people that are really familiar with sort of what the fans are looking for and what subtle tweaks they can make to existing tooling or to new tooled figures that look just like the old stuff to make them appeal to a broader audience.
I mean, the fact they have to do completely new tooling for these anyway is probably what keeps it in its position that we've got at the moment. Like, if they can't, you know, put more of the budget towards it, then this is probably what we're gonna have to get in the future.
But I guess that's where I'm conflicted, because if they, and I don't pretend to know all the different steps that are going into this, if they have to do new tooling anyway, why not do something a little new and different?
Exactly. I mean,
if you've got to invest the money in it, then, I mean, I don't know if the sculpts exist somewhere and they're building tools off of sculpts that have already existed, or if they're scanning the original toys in order to do that. I don't know how any of that works in this particular case. But from my perspective, the excuse we're always given about why there are so many repaints is because they had to reuse existing tooling. Well, if they don't have to do that, then take the opportunity to bring something new to the table. You know, if you're investing the money anyway, do something new and different with it.
Not to besmirch some of the head sculpts from the vintage era either, but they could always improve on those. Like, they tried it in the comic pack era, didn't they, as well? And like there was hits and misses, shall we say. A lot of kind of like peanut size heads and, you know, that kind of stuff. Peanut, I said. I think that, you know, if they'd have done a different Duke head sculpt to match what Duke looks like everywhere else, then that might have been a bit more enticing and intriguing and interesting. This is the thing, like, it's difficult, isn't it? Because the comic two and three packs did a really good job of, like you say, like mixing and matching some weird and some kooky, but then also a, you know, your classic characters. And if they are Pulse exclusives anyway, I think you're going to get a much better return if you're focused on the collector, not the casual in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. Whenever they've already kind of cut out the person that's just buying groceries and it happens past them, you know, the people that they're going for are going to largely be people who already have a lot of the O-ring figures. So to that regard, the ones that are mostly reissues seem to be just kind of a necessary evil.
Yeah.
So far, those, the two that I would say are worthwhile, one is Stalker.
Oh, God, yeah. That is a beautiful figure. Easily. Beautiful figure.
That's an excellent one for them to have reissued. And Storm Shadow, because of the fact that he yellows so easily. Those are two that are very, there's a good purpose to having those figures out there and available again.
I think you're thinking of
combining to get to the ones that are good.
You're thinking of Tiger Force Storm Shadow, I think, Pat, not
the yellow one. what most of the vintage figures look like at this point.
Yeah, you see, like I totally agree with that as well, and like the opportunity to create something better than has come before to a degree, like improving in materials for one, so that, you know, like in terms of, you know, I'm talking about longevity, not changing something that physically, aesthetically looks different. I mean improving the build, and I know they're using like. Yes, exactly. They did that. They made the thumbs a lot softer, didn't they? So what that for me is a massive positive. The foot peg holes are much sturdier. Like you don't get that, like trying to put it on there and pff, exploding into millions of pieces. Like you don't get you know, that kind of stuff. That's what I think the focus should be on as well. If they're going to do just complete reissues, then it has to be an improvement in every area, and that is sometimes the case, and is definitely in some cases not the case with them.
Yeah, like the backpack pegs. They're not very good.
No.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a consistency with the peg size.
Has the G.I. Joe brand ever done any better than the original vintage backpack pegs for being able to go in and stay in? Because ever since then, I have trouble with classified figures all the time, and I don't know why that has never been improved on, because you'd think, like, however many figures along, like my Rakondo backpack is only just staying on by the will of the gods at the moment. There's no it's just held in there right now with hopes and maybe a few dreams. There is literally nothing else. Gravity is trying to take it out of his back. And you'd think at this point that have got to the stage where it's like, we should probably make the backpack, the peg, a tiny bit bigger, or we should make the hole in the back a tiny bit smaller. Any of those would do, I think, at this stage. So, yeah, sorry to bring it out of O-ring, but that's another thing I've found in those kind of things. You expect those improvements to happen over time, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's just not a good sign that I've seen some people post having trouble with the peg hole on Failsafe in relationship to the Sky Striker. I even saw one that somebody had put him in like on day one and it broke.
Ugh. Yeah. Again, like, it's a shame, isn't it? Because like there was a lot of promise there, and I was just really, honestly, I was really happy that it funded in general. I was just happy that it did what it did at the end. There were other factors involved, I guess, but I was just happy for the brand at the time. And it's a shame that it hasn't kind of landed, pun totally intended, in the way that I think they wanted it to. Like, you know, I think you'd want people to just be like oozing like greatness all over the place with it and say, this is amazing, all the figures are great. But it just seemed to be just a ton of complaints. That's all it's all I saw. I don't know whether that was like, you know, the loud aspect of the vocal minority, or if loads of people were just dealing with lots of complaints and issues. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's hard to gauge, but I definitely think there are problems there.
The pulse nature of it is part of that. They've gotten better with their customer support. I had a problem with a transformer that they actually replaced the exact transformer just recently, which is a first for them.
Yeah.
But it's always heightens the annoyance with a quality control problem where you have to deal with a male rather than just being able to take it back to Target.
Yeah.
Not to mention it's a $300, you know, kind of prestige sort of item. You know, you're paying that kind of money, you would expect a certain level of quality above retail. And it just feels like the SkyStriker was not that case. You know, I haven't heard a whole lot of complaints about the plane itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly around the figures.
I think, doesn't that tell you that, like, a lot of people were probably more excited for the figures that went in on it?
They might have been.
Because I think, and again, like, this, don't not take away from the SkyStriker, because it's still pretty cool and really detailed and awesome. But how many SkyStrikers have we had in the last,
it was tough to get excited about it.
Yeah. But like the figures, I think the figures is what did a lot of the damage in that sense. A lot of the kind of getting people to kind of jump in on it. And like, you know, Night Force Ripcord is another cool like addition to that line. And that kind of leads us in, I guess, to the next phase of our discussion. Right then, well, let's move on then to the next kind of phase of this chat, and that's getting into what we want to see going forward. So each presenter will get to choose one character they would like to see as an O-ring figure, who hasn't had one in the past, by the way, and explain their reasoning, of course. Now, first up, we'll start with Justin on this one. So, Justin, I mean, obviously, feel free to frame this however you want, but take us through what you want to see in the line.
Yeah, this is tough because, you know, if you'd asked me this, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, before we got some of those comic packs, you know, I would have had a long list of O-ring of figures that really needed O-ring attention that didn't get it. There's still several of them out there, you know, talking about, you know, Dr. Venom, Billy's and characters like that.
Yeah.
But I think what I really want to focus on is sort of, you know, my idea of what I'd like to see them do with the O-ring line, and how, and this is purely from, you know, my own selfish perspective, because, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a way to, you know, inject life into the O-ring, but I think it could help.
Inject life into the O-ring by chance?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. Carry on.
Do you need a moment?
Yep.
So what I kind of thought of, and this was sort of at the last minute last night, trying to really rack my brain, because like I said, I spent a lot of time on places like 3D Joe's and just kind of looking at the past O-ring stuff, falling in love with a bunch of that stuff again, because I don't think I spent enough time really appreciating what we had. But what I really would love for them to do to kind of spark some interest in the O-ring is, you know, to try to address some of the unreleased stuff. And I think a great way to do that would be to kind of, you know, relaunch it in a way that ties it through sort of the Battle Rangers storyline. And I would love to have like a key figure of that first release be that Dr. Mindbender, that mutated Dr. Mindbender we were supposed to get in 1995.
That would be so cool.
Bring him to the O-ring line for the first time. A big driver for classic completists, classic collectors, but also I think a great centerpiece that they could build sort of a new story around.
Yeah.
How Dr. Mindbender has, you know, done this genetic experimentation on himself, and Cobra is, you know, kind of relaunching themselves into the 21st century as these sort of hybrid cyborg warriors. And you could sort of sprinkle in the typical vintage looking figures around that.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be a great sort of centerpiece, because I know tons of vintage collectors who maybe haven't touched any of this O-ring stuff so far would immediately jump on something like that, just getting that O-ring Dr. Mindbender for the first time.
Would you release the tactical battle platform as well and have him climbing up it on the artwork?
Sure.
Yeah. Just want to throw that in there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the cool thing is the sky is almost the limit. I mean, you could use some of the familiar figures. You could sprinkle in maybe some of the Battle Ranger deco stuff. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential for
Baroness.
You know, tying vintage. Yeah, Baroness would be absolutely another one. Tying vintage in with some of the unreleased stuff, and that would really appeal to a lot of collectors. Do I think that would really work on a broad scale? I don't know. I think a re-release of that Dr. Mindbender, I think would attract a lot of attention. There would be casual fans who never knew it existed. There would be longtime fans who have been wanting it since 1994.
I think the amount of people that you're talking about would be big enough to do it justice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's like pretty much all of the O-Ring JoeCon attendees. They'd all be up for that, surely.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, it's... I think that would be a great showcase, and they could, you know, like I said, sprinkle in some more familiar vintage figures with it. Maybe that gives them an avenue to bring Dr. Venom out in O-Ring as well, you know, kind of associated with that. I don't know. But I just think that'd be a really cool way to kind of get things going again. It would give the more casual fans, you know, something to be interested in. I think it would create a lot of buzz online. I think a lot of the vintage fans would churn up stories and churn up attention. And I think there's more of those folks out there than Hasbro maybe realizes. And I really think it would kind of start a little bit more momentum for the O-Ring. It would give a sense of this is something we haven't done before, you know, and would also kind of give the sense, you know, the sky's the limit, you know, support the line. We could do all this other stuff too, instead of just saying, oh, great, you know, I buy these four figures. What am I going to get next? You know, the fifth, I don't know, whatever Crimson Guard that's ever been released, or the, you know, whatever other core character that is out there. Rather than just give people the impression that we're just going to see the same characters over and over and over again, it actually gives them some idea that, wow, there is really an area for some new stuff to come to the table.
I was genuinely excited when the Stinger was announced, because I was like, oh, something a little bit different. Not too far away, because obviously they've got the tooling there to share a little bit with the Vamp, obviously. But then you've got, you know, a different deco of with the driver and everything. So it's like, cool. So I'm with you on that. I think something new and fresh is 100% necessary, because they've tried core character and it hasn't really blown up, has it? So let's go to the next thing, which is bonkers stuff like Battlecore Dr. Mindbender, or Battlecore Rangers Dr. Mindbender. What would you call it, Pat? What would you call it?
That's Battlecore Rangers Dr. Mindbender.
Just wanted to get the full title out there. I'm glad I was correct. Awesome. In that case, so that's Justin's, right? So yours is Dr. Mindbender, and that is an absolute beauty. Pat, take us through your... Have you got more to say, by the way, Justin?
No. I think that pretty much covers what I wanted to say.
I wasn't sure if I cut you off or not there, mate.
No, you're good.
Shut up. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait, Pat, one more thing. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just going to play the video, Pat, as soon as you start talking. Is that cool? The weekly video.
Sure.
There you go. So, Pat, take us through your kind of reasoning and what you think the line needs as well going forward.
First of all, I love Justin's ideas. It kind of hits what I'm thinking. Like, he's definitely talking my language. I think that his idea is one that would bring back a lot of people who've kind of given up hope of ever getting something new in an O-ring format. It also, I think that some of the key people who run some of the toy news websites would know what that is and be really invigorated and excited about posting about G.I. Joe. And with that in mind, the figure that I'm going to choose, and this is, because you said the sky's the limit, we were allowed to pick anything.
Sky Patrol's the limit.
No, I'm going to pick Rocky Balboa.
Ding, ding.
And that's because of the fact that I think with Stallone, you know, doing commercials at this point, maybe he's open again to negotiations. And, you know, things fell through there in the 80s. But if they were to approach him again and say, hey, let's get this deal, make it a reality, that's going to hit not just the toy news websites. That's going to hit some of the movie news websites. That's going to hit the fan websites for action movies. That's going to be news across the entire internet. And that is how you relaunch a toy line.
We've talked about Rocky Balboa on probably 10 of these kind of episodes we've done, right?
We have.
But what I'm going to say, have we ever discussed the possibility of Cobra's opposite, not Big Boa, but doing Dolph Lundgren on the Cobra side?
I don't think we have.
Why has that never come up?
couldn't be more October Guard.
Exactly. There we go, Pat. You're
that'd
in.
Be, the October Guard's physical trainer or whatever. Yeah. Oh, that'd, yeah. That'd be fantastic.
Goodness.
And I'll say, you know, I've been getting ready to watch Creed 3 because it's coming out soon.
There
I've watched Creed 1 and 2, and I'm like, I'm full on in Rocky Balboa mode right now, so I'm all in.
Get Dylan in the line as well. Get Carl Weathers in there,
With Creed coming out, come on, this would be a home run. And maybe there'd be some complications with that, where maybe the studio would want to have involved, you know. I think that you mostly just need to get Stallone's approval. I think that he owns the rights to the character. And if that's the case, it should simplify the method of actually getting the right to do it. I really think that it would be a... Can you imagine if
the robot as well. Get the robot.
Like, have a special guest. You know, and it's Stallone.
That would be mental. I don't think I could stretch that far to get Stallone on the show, Pat. I'll try, but yeah, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I just think that it would be amazing for them to finally do that. And I was going to say also that what I want from the brand in general, I look back to the way that they handled the Iron Man toy line, the Iron Man 2 toy line from like the 2009-ish, was that whenever that was, I think?
The 2009s.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It was kind of subtle on the packages, but they had the comic book series, the movie series, and the concept series. And I really liked that as a collector of those because it gave a little more subtle segmentation of that line. And I think
you could almost like choose what you wanted. Yeah, you could always choose the subgroup you wanted to go for. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I think that with G.I. Joe, they could do a comic series, a cartoon, and maybe movie series, but probably it's just going to end up being a cartoon series. And then also a concept series where you would have like a Dr. Mindbender as a part of that. And it wouldn't necessarily be to segment things because I don't think we'll be getting so many figures that you could talk about those three segments that well. But I think that by having that on there, it may even just tell the consumer what the heck this thing is. I mean, they even did it after, you know, one of the 25th line technically moved out of the 25th and it just had that logo in the corner of cartoon or comic book. It just kind of told people who maybe weren't as familiar, hey, this is what this is. So if people were confused about what Justin's Dr. Mindbender it is, it could say concept series, and then people would know, oh, this wasn't something in a comic book or in the cartoon.
You could have concept series and a brain in a jar. That would be the image for it, just like, or your nitpick helmet. No, I think that's awesome. You could definitely have a lot of fun with that as well, like, you know, marketing-wise for all the marketers out there. But no, I'm totally on board with both of those ideas. I think they're fantastic. And I think, I know we're talking like Rocky Balboa as well, Pat, but I think Michael B. Jordan might be a good, to be a G.I. Joe. Do you know what I mean? Like, as, you know, bring it into like the future a little bit as well. Have like maybe a set. Like a past, present, future type scenario? I don't know.
As Creed?
Yeah, as obviously as Apollo Creed's...
Well, he could be John Clark too from that Without Remorse movie. That'd be pretty cool.
he could be... Was he Johnny Blaze in the Fantastic Four? He was, wasn't he, in that terrible Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Killmonger. He can come on as Killmonger. Torch, yeah. Killmonger would make more sense as a soldier. Yeah.
he's been everywhere.
And I'm pretty sure the Marvel don't care. They wouldn't be. They'd be all right, wouldn't they? Disney'd be fine with that. Yeah, it's too good. No, let's do that. Just something that's just jogged something in my head from a previous chat we had where we were talking about what famous people could come into the classified series, and obviously Rocky Balboa I think was mentioned at the time then, Pat, or maybe it wasn't, and we were kicking ourselves that we didn't talk about it at that point. But that was one of those things where we were like, oh, I don't know. And Michael B. Jordan is one that's kind of sticking out a bit with that connection to Rocky and to the fact that it's more current, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, that would be kind of... That's an interesting one I've never really thought about in the past. Okay, my choice is actually in a similar way... I've kind of cheated a little bit. I'm going to say Pythona, right, first and foremost, but there's a reason behind it. And it's slightly different to the reasons you guys have given. So, Pat, you're talking more about bringing in that kind of other like community as well, like more people as well, because it's Rocky Balboa and it's famous and it's Stallone and all that kind of stuff.
It's also
as well.
An unproduced figure.
An unproduced, of course, 100%. Like there's, regardless of the relation to Joe, that there's more to it than that is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And with you, Justin, you were kind of in a similar vein where you're saying, let's do something that opens it out to the collector community a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. So mine is kind of doing, one, it's covering unreleased. Two, it's covering an aspect that's very, very popular in the G.I. Joe community as a whole, and that's the animated movie. And by popular, I mean commercially known and viable and all that kind of stuff, right? And then you've got the added aspect of it being the nostalgia kick for a lot of people, where it's going to be, you know, the movie that everyone recognizes when someone says G.I. Joe, right? When someone says G.I. Joe to most people of our age, they're going to think of that intro, aren't they, from the film, mainly. So I'm thinking you go Cobra La with it, and you do something fun and different. And Pythona's a good one to start with. If it's a two-pack, maybe Pythona and Nemesis Enforcer. Because that's what I should have done. I should have said pick a two-pack, shouldn't I, is what I should have said. But Pat, you can do Rocky and Big Boa, can't you? Or Rocky and Dolph
Lundgren.
Yeah.
Or Rocky and Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Draggle.
What would your two-pack be, Justin?
I would probably want to throw in another one of the Battle Corps Rangers. Maybe, Footloose. I think he's probably one of the more identifiable ones, yeah. I guess.
Baroness and Dr. Mindbender would make sense.
Baroness could be good, too. Yeah, maybe instead of a versus pack, it's a two-pack of Cobras, Baroness and Dr. Mindbender. I think I like that better. I think Baroness would be a bigger draw.
I love that this segment has evolved into a two-pack now, which is great. For me...
Give it another 10 minutes, it'll be, this is our 12-pack.
This is next House Lab, guys. I'm thinking like Pythona obviously being the main draw effectively, but you could also throw in a Royal Guard and a P and be really make Adam Riches really upset that he has to start buying loads of Royal Guards on.
He's gonna end up with 200 Pythonas.
Yes, he is. Or you could throw in, like I said, Nemesis Enforcer, or maybe, and then like you could save your Globulus for a more premium sort of kind of deal, like a vehicle set or something. The BET could be thrown in. So I'm looking at this from a kind of like nostalgic movie kind of point of view. And also getting some of those movie figures into O-Ring finally. Like even reissuing some of the movie figures themselves. Like, you know, getting a Falcon out there again and a Big Lob. Yeah. Or, you know, like a Big Lob who's only ever seen the club like versions done. Like we could definitely get... another like an official O-Ring Big Lob, if I know it's official,
right?
But like one that's got its own head sculpt and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like more resources put into it, maybe even
Chuckles in his deco that's kind of more like the movie
The white shirt and everything. Yes, 100%. All of that good stuff. I think that is a really good way to go for the brand, and I'm still so surprised we haven't had a big kind of movie push. Even though we had an anniversary recently, the movie was in theaters not too long ago that we went to see together. Like, mm-hmm. I just, things like that, it boggles my mind that no one was thinking product at this point, because there was no product in relation to the movie from either Hasbro or Super 7. And I was thinking, like, what a missed opportunity. And yes, I know there's levels to it, like there's lead time for kind of getting... you know, stuff done and all that kind of jazz. But that seemed like a missed opportunity to me. And again, it fell in a year that was probably in and around still like heavy with the pandemic. So I get that too. So there were a lot of things against it having product there. But I don't think, I honestly, genuinely don't think anyone was thinking about it. I don't think anyone was thinking, let's make O-Ring figures. Let's make reaction figures. Let's make Ultimates. Like, I don't think that was on anyone's mind. I think Brian wants, speaking to Brian, he wants to do movie related stuff, obviously, but he wants to do it in a big, big way. So I'm wondering if they're going to do something maybe in the future at SDCC, because I could see them doing something insane movie related. Like they're going to make Cobra La or something. Do you know what I mean? Like as in the store is going to be Cobra Lara or something. I'd have to go to SDCC if they did that. Like, I'd have
to do Globulus in reaction form, though. I mean, that'd be, I don't know.
Well, easier than you could do it in the O-ring form.
Probably, yeah. That's probably true.
It would probably
Maybe it would have the perfect base tail, like, just use the tail that was in the catalog. That white one that maybe, and if you could even just get the figure off of that and put it on a vintage one.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Is that the one that looks like a dog poo?
Yes. Looks like an old, white, dried out dog poo,
The ones you never see anymore. You don't see old white dog poos anymore. Anyway, that's a discussion for another time. Is it, though?
Is that next month's? That's next month's Full Force Monthly. Why don't we see dried dog poo anymore?
Join us next week, where Pat tells us his favorite version of white dog poo. Actually, we could just do dog poos and our favorite. Anyway, we'll move on. Right. Okay. Well, yeah. So there are our versions. I mean, what are your thoughts regarding that, by the way? I should probably ask you first. Do you think movie-related kind of stuff for O-ring would do well? Because I think it's just been missing, man.
I think it would. Yeah. I mean, it's tough to tell. I think the movie got a lot of, mainstream kind of pop culture news. Judging, the theater we went to wasn't exactly chucker block full, but it was a great time. I think it would be a good celebration of it. I think if they were doing O-ring figures anyway, I don't see why not. I do think it sounds like something that might be more up Super 7's alley than Hasbro's, but I think if you're ever going to do O-ring movie updates, I think that would be the time to do it. I think that Hasbro is very, very careful with how they handle the O-ring stuff. I would love to see them sort of break out the mold a little bit and try some new and different stuff.
No pun intended.
But, yeah, no pun intended.
Break out the mold. I liked it.
Oh, yeah, I see. Let's see what I did there.
What about you, Pat?
Yeah, I think that what Brian said to you was that once he gets into doing the movie, he has to keep doing the movie. And I can understand that you, if you release one movie item, it's going to create that momentum that he would want to just keep on making movie items. And that's a smart decision, I think. And maybe it's also an opportunity for him to kind of watch his own numbers. And if they start to kind of dip, take that and use that as an opportunity to bump him up again, because introducing that movie, he can stay in that space for a while and then move back into where he was before with an all new reinvigorated audience, because the movie is going to get way more exposure for him. So I kind of think he just has it in his back pocket right now.
I think that's spot on. In actual fact, I think it's one of those things where it's a good selling point or to jump onto to get that spike. 100%.
I think, though, that one of the other things that we're kind of not exactly talking about but is also a true thing is that looking at the interest in retro in general in the toy market, because there's also new Indiana Jones stuff was just shown this week. I think that the indie stuff especially shows that there is an interest in retro style. And there are a few other things that actually are retro styled that are not like the reaction figures, which seem to be specifically Kenner Star Wars retro style.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a market for other retro styles.
Definitely.
And it brings about the question, could Hasbro do something other than G.I. Joe with the O-ring format? Mm. And I think that it could. I think there are a lot of other old brands that we would like to have had as kids to play with our G.I. Joes, whether it be Inhumanoids. I mean, imagine if they just released the main Inhumanoids humans out of their suits in O-ring format.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that would be a hit. Or Gem, Mask.
Yeah.
Three-quarter-inch O-ring format.
Yep.
So many things that they could introduce into that vintage O-ring style if they stick to
you could get away with vehicles
style and the buck of vintage G.I. Joe.
You could get away with vehicles in the O-ring line for Mask. You could easily do that.
Yeah, you could.
In the 80s.
Yeah, my daughter's been bitten by the toy collector bug a little bit, so we've been spending time going to like Newberry Comics and places like that, and those vintage style figures are, they're all over the place. There's Mego now is doing same sort of format they did back in the 70s with newer characters, but it's very vintage themed. You know, you've got, you know, Super 7, you know, between, you know, G.I. Joe and doing Willow figures now that are very much in sort of a retro style. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of other vendors out there that are doing very similar things. I think you're right. I think if Hasbro really wanted to, they could take that O-ring format and really branch it out and bring in, like Pat said, different sublines into the G.I. Joe mainstream and really do some great reinvigoration of some stale brands. I mean, can you imagine if they did? I mean, probably at the end of the day, I would love to see Visionaries in its proper scale, but bringing Visionaries into kind of that 3¾-inch O-ring format, you know, I think the sky would be the limit if they would really kind of dedicate some resources to it. I think part of the conflict is probably a company like Super 7 has, you know, different expectations than a company like Hasbro when it comes to generating these toys and what profit they make and things like that. But I just think there's a ton of potential for what they could do if they really kind of dedicated some time and resources into it. Absolutely.
I even wonder if they could get away with doing like a Hasbro All-Stars sort of. Where it wouldn't necessarily be, okay, we have to make an entire wave of gem figures.
Right.
You know, maybe you have one gem figure and then you have one visionary and you just see which figure is the hot figure, and then maybe you go from there to fill out the later series. But yeah, I and that is something that I do think they would need to get into a retail space.
Yeah.
Line only would not be a good idea.
No, I agree with that. And considering that relates to what we talk about on the weekly as well, Pat, which they're going to know anyway because it's already happened, because I'm not going to be able to get this edited in time. Right, well, we fixed the O-ring line, guys. That's awesome. Brilliant. I'll send this over to Hasbro and they can start working on all of those suggestions for us. JK, LOL. Let's move on to the final segment today, and that is version therapy. Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organizing it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding. Right, continuing with our regular monthly segment now, Version Therapy, which is where we choose a single G.I. Joe or Cobra character and have a discussion on what action figure version is their best. Now, of course, we are all probably going to have different opinions on this based on when we were born, personal experience and so on, but that's where the fun lies. Feel free to let us know who your favourite action figure version is and why in the comments below as well. So who have we got next? Well, last month we skipped this particular segment based on how much we had to get through, so we thought we would return strong with Scarlet. With her recent inclusion in the Sky Striker HasLab, it seemed to just make sense. So, starting then with Justin, take us through your favorite Scarlet version and why, please.
This is another thing that was kind of eye-opening as I sort of dug through some online resources trying to figure out who my favorite Scarlet was, because I would say back in the Real American Hero days, you know, the Scarlet was a central character in the cartoon and the comic book both. She was probably one of G.I. Joe's top five characters, yet from, you know, 1982 to 1995, she essentially got two figures. I mean, I guess you could kind of count, you know, the non-swivel arm and the swivel arm, you know, version as two separate versions. But she really did not get a lot of play in the action figure aisle. That changed once, New Sculpt, she got, you know, some more iterations in the New Sculpt era, and then Modern Era, she got even more. But I think, you know, from my perspective, for some reason, the Scarlet that really appealed to me actually didn't come out until the 30th anniversary line, and that was the G.I. Joe Renegades version of Scarlet. Mm-hmm. Part of that is that I love the G.I. Joe Renegades cartoon. That's one of my favorite G.I. Joe related continuities, so that appealed to me. But, you know, even though it was a Scarlet geared for that animated series, she had some strong resemblances to the vintage Scarlet in her color scheme, kind of the way the color breaks went on the uniform. Her articulation was great. She had a really good head sculpt with the long red hair. She just kind of encompassed everything that I liked in a Scarlet action figure almost for the first time. I mean, there were, the modern era kind of original 25th anniversary Anniversary Scarlet had articulation issues and had some funky elbows and a funky head sculpt, and you know, had some shortcomings there. Some of the new sculpt Scarlets, you know, I really liked sort of the Joe versus Cobra version of Scarlet, who was like the original Scarlet but all kind of teched up with armor. But there were some proportion issues. So really it came down to that G.I. Joe Renegades version, which was a little bit of a surprise to me, considering the wealth of other options that were in there. I did have one that was a really close second that I'm not going to say now, because I want to let you guys kind of make your choices and don't want to color what you're going to say. But the G.I. Joe Renegades version, to me, at the end of the day, was probably the one I liked the best.
Awesome. I agree with that. I think that was a cracking figure. And I think, had I given it more thought myself, because usually I just message you guys and say, hey, I'm going to need your Scarlet choices because I need to know what's going on. And then think about mine at the last minute anyway. Having looked at all of them, she's one of those ones that it ticks a lot of boxes. It's updated. There's new aspects, but there's that kind of, you're right, that's still got that vintage feel to it. The deco kind of keeps her nice and rooted in that kind of original style. But again, something new, something fresh. And of course, connected to a show that I really enjoyed as well. Not necessarily everyone enjoyed it, but I know I certainly enjoyed it. And liked the character in that particular cartoon as well. So yeah, that's a good shout actually, Bud.
That's an excellent choice. I remember seeing the head sculpt on that in the case at JoeCon and just feeling like I really had to have that figure. I don't really know why, but that one just in particular, among all of the Renegades sculpts, was one of the ones that there was just something about it that I really liked. I like the way that the ponytail is on that figure doesn't really interfere with the articulation.
Yeah,
it's excellent. I do think that the way that the head was painted was a little bit nicer. The one that was hand painted in that case was a little bit nicer than what ended up coming out. But the body style, I'm also glad that they ended up reusing that for, what was it, Lady J from Retaliation?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just the proportions of it are good. It's a really solid action figure. That's a good choice.
Totally.
Looking over all the versions of Scarlet myself, and it's there are a lot of things in here, but it's tough to nail one down.
Go for yours first, Pat. I mean, take us through what your favorite version is, and then I'll do mine, because mine's almost like an imaginary one that falls between two in a weird way.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the same imaginary one that falls between the two that I was going to say.
Go on, then.
Say the same thing, which usually I scoop in and take yours.
Yeah, here we go.
So if I manage to stretch it over two and take yours perfectly, we'll just have to agree the opposite ones.
Go on then.
I was going to go with, I love the original Scarlet, because in my mind, there's not a single version of the figures that have perfectly gotten Scarlet right. Because even in 1992, you have that Scarlet and it's like, well, a helmet can't fit on her. And she doesn't have a ponytail. And those two things just don't quite feel right with that figure. Even in 1982, we were looking for an improvement. 1983 gave us the swivel arms, but still not a new head sculpt it would have liked on Scarlet. So with that said, I would go with the comic pack Scarlet from 2005. But where I'm getting a blend of the two is I actually do like the colors of the original figure better than what we got in 2005. Now, 2005 also did give us some foot holes on the figure, which I think were something that were kind of absent from the original. They are just very, very small. You know, it's not the standard G.I. Joe foot peg size.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a blend between the two is what I would prefer. But that 2005 comic pack Scarlet, well, I guess Yojo has her listed as Agent Scarlet version 4, which is confusing. Because it's like the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. It's the 11th version of the character. But because of the word agent, they listed it as version 4.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
That wasn't a call that I had made at the time.
One was wearing that. You obviously kept nitpick for yourself at that point. That was not handed over to the next person doing that job.
That's right. I was around at Yojo at the time, but you know, they'd already, I think that at that point they'd already made Agent Scarlet a version one, and it wasn't up to me anyway. So what, whichever version it is, it's the 2005 comic pack. It's the only comic pack Scarlet in 2005. So that's the one that I'm talking about. It has the ponytail. The head is a little scaled down, maybe a little even too small.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a good figure, and somewhere a blend between that and the original Scarlet is what I want. Did I take yours?
No, you did not, thankfully.
That was actually, that was my runner-up that I had mentioned that I didn't want to say without influencing anyone else. Okay. So you took my runner-up.
Great. I've just got a free run at mine then. That's perfect. Okay, so this is where it gets kind of difficult for me, because I don't think there's been a perfect version of this particular figure, but I love the idea of the figure. Now, I love the idea of the figure when it first came out, and but there were aspects of it that really do take it away from being, you know, anywhere near perfect, can we say? And that is Ninja Force Scarlet. Now, in original Ninja Force Scarlet, I think is bonkers. Like, the design's crazy, but I love it. I think it's awesome. She's got one of the best head sculpts, by the way. It's a really, really good head sculpt and a really cool, obviously, like, you know, the hair, ponytail and everything. It's awesome. But the problems we start getting to with this figure arrive in the way of features. And obviously the kind of special features the Ninja Force figures had do, like, hinder the proportions of this particular figure, especially in the hips and the legs area and that kind of stuff. So obviously there are certain things that make the figure a little bit aesthetically weird. That said, they did attempt a second version of Ninja Force Scarlet in the Transformers G.I. Joe Club crossover set in 2017. And that particular figure, I really like it. So I think it's a really cool figure and everything. But again, I don't think it's not what I 100% imagined. Like, I kind of wish that maybe Hasbro had done it so they could have, again, thrown tooling at it and made it, like, unique and, you know, followed the vintage figure, but cleared up the proportions, which obviously this modern figure does. But it just, to me, that figure feels a little bit unfinished. So for me, the best version of Scarlet is kind of in between these two that float around. And that's, that for me, unfortunately, is where I've landed on it. Now, I would probably also, if I have to choose a perfect Scarlet, it's difficult because I don't think there is one yet. And I think that, like, if you look at the Classified line, that is a dope figure, by the way. The Scarlet figure's cool. The re-kind of decoed one, the field variant, is also very cool. The movie one is actually really very cool. So if I had to genuinely choose my best version of Scarlet, it would probably be the Classified movie version of Scarlet as an awesome figure. Obviously there are other aspects that may take away from that, but for me that's probably where I have to land. But if I'm allowed to by you guys, I'm going to say it floats in between these two versions of Ninja Force. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you captured all of kind of my perspective on the Ninja Force figures, especially. It was a real shame in some ways, because the design aesthetic of those Ninja Force figures were so fantastic. Oh. I loved each and every one of them, but several of them had just those articulation issues. They wedged that spring-loaded stuff in there, and it just really almost ruined the aesthetic of some of the figures in a way. You know, that Snake Eyes and Scarlet especially, they were heavily featured in the comic at the time. They had really, really great designs, yet somehow, you know, with that spring-loaded stuff, just weren't as good as they could have been. So I definitely agree, you know, taking that aesthetic and putting it to a fully articulated figure is a great way to sort of celebrate that release. I wish Snake Eyes would get the same treatment at some point along the line. But
cool, I'll just say Pilot Scarlet then in that case, from the HasLab. What about you, Pat? Are you do you agree with my thoughts process, at least? You don't have to agree with the
yes figure. I do. Okay. I absolutely loved the Ninja Force Scarlet whenever she came out. It was nice to actually see Scarlet get a second figure. I mean, technically the swivel arm would be a second figure, but none of us really ever felt that way.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see her get a version 2 within the Vintage line, because if it wasn't for the Ninja Force one, you'd only still have in the Vintage line the original Scarlet.
Yeah.
And so many characters got updates, and she kept on not getting an update. And it's also a nice look. There's something about the colors where they went with a very traditional green on the torso. Like, it's just a dark green. And then you have that pop of the bright color on the legs that is so very 90s. But those two things work really well together. And then, of course, the gold armor. It's an interesting look for any figure, even if it wasn't for the fact that it's Scarlet.
Yeah.
It just really does suffer, though. Everyone, whenever this thing came out, was reimagining it in their heads. Okay, what would that look like with a proper O-ring? Because I don't really like the legs. And it's the problem with her and with Snake Eyes.
Yeah, I agree. And I would probably say as well, I'd throw Night Creeper in there a little bit, because I love that idea and the design.
Yeah.
And then even like the kind of like the cape that they should have come with. And then like you see the figure and it's kind of... It seems to be missing something, and they've made it super hench for some reason. Like they made the Night Creeper massive.
It's like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on. Zartan.
Backpack holes would have been nice on these figures. That's part of the problem with the Ninja Force.
Yeah, that's in a way why I think Night Creeper probably didn't come with a cape, or didn't come with because it doesn't come with a backpack. It looks a little unfinished. Because there's nothing to fill that like visual space. I feel the same about the Battlecore Viper. I feel like that figure kind of like basically it doesn't have that thing that fills out the aesthetic where a backpack would do that.
The backpacks in a lot of ways kind of decorate a figure, and especially with the Ninja Force, you know, having blades, you know, a sword sticking up behind them just kind of has that great ninja feel.
Definitely.
And with Ninja Force stuff, they just kind of eliminated that by eliminating the backpack hole on the figures.
Totally.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, again, we were talking about the O-ring line. If they were to revisit Ninja Force and release Scarlet and just don't do the action figure and with standard legs, that's a win.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. It's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to Classified maybe kind of venturing into that zone as well, to give us some really awesome like Ninja Force related figures. Obviously, we've sort of had that with Storm Shadow to a degree, but not at the same time. It's more of an homage than a direct design thing. But that said, like I said, I'm now that they've ventured more towards just, you know, recreating a lot of what's happened already, I'm excited for that. I know this is an O-ring special, but don't screw you guys. Right, yeah, okay. Well, no one's going to mention Stars and Stripes Scarlet. That's weird. I figured that one was going to be on everyone's top list. Like I said, for you guys watching, let us know in the comments how crazy you think we are with our decisions. But also let us know what you want. Comment on what action figure version of Scarlet is your favorite, or what you think is the best. Whatever way you want to frame it, let us know in the comments. And also let us know of any things, like ideas that you have for O-ring inclusion as well. Let us know all of that stuff. Stick it in the comments and we will ignore it. Joking. Look, yeah, see? Next up then. Well, that's it. That is actually it for this episode. There's no next up. I'm getting confused with something else that's happening. Right then, you might have a little bit of extra coming in the week as well with our monthlies. I'll explain it later. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on this one. It's been an absolute pleasure. Justin and Pat, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
Good to see you guys as always.
At the same time, I love that.
Sorry.
No, it's totally cool. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining us for the Full Force Monthly. Massive thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Patrick Stewart and Justin Bell. See you next month. And as always, you know what to do. 1, 2, 3,
Full Force.
And now on to the next bit that we have to do. We'll be right back. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.